Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, and to all you beautiful Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to episode number 176 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. I am the host, the affably named Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. How are you, Dupes?
I'm doing really well.
Very great day. Very exciting day. Lots to talk about. We got a good friend here in the bunker, here for the rollout for Flooring Superstores. Quinn Magnuson joining us here, CFL alum. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good. I'm happy to be here and happy to have, you know, glad you had me on. I don't get often that people want me to hear me talk.
So. I always, hey, this is the guy. Let's say it right now. Quinn nailed it last year when the Riders signed Cody Fajardo. We were doing a television show together, a different platform. Yep. And he's like, I really like this Cody Fajardo sign. I said, are you high? He's a third down quarterback. So, bravo, Quinn.
Thank you.
You
nailed. If anybody
nailed.
Wants to know how I bet on, you know, different things too, they can ask me. No, that was Fajardo was a good signing, and people didn't know that, but it ended up maybe I just got lucky. I don't know, but I'm super happy he's doing well.
I'm deferring to you that you kind of know your stuff. Now, for our viewers and listeners, just introduce yourself football wise, your football resume, if you don't mind.
Wow, how far back do you want to go?
Quickly,
okay. 5 years in the CFL, was drafted by Winnipeg in 93 in the sixth round. Spent the year with them, ended up in Saskatchewan in 94. Brief stint in the Arena League in 94. Ottawa 95, they fold. I get picked up by Montreal in the dispersal draft in 96. Traded back to Winnipeg, but I had had some injuries and surgeries, and my wife said, nope, you're done. So I retired in 97 and basically went back and got my degree, and now I'm in business and that kind of thing. But short-lived cup of coffee in the CFL. I don't try to profess that I was anything great.
It was,
I was the best long snapper at the time, though.
A good time, maybe not a long time. And your son, Leaf, just committed to the University of Arizona Wildcats, which, by the way, my good friend Chris Schultz is alum from there, Canadian kid, walk-on, which Leaf isn't a walk-on, but I hope he has the career Chris Schultz had.
I would love to see that.
All right. So, Paul's here. Breaking news in Paul's chair. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Rod.
People want to talk about CFL free agency. As I get to the quick six show topics here, number one, of course, CFL free agency. Quinn, very excited to talk about that. He was texting me about it last night. Winners and losers. We'll get to that. Point two, is there too much movement? Because I saw an article in the Winnipeg Free Press, I think, saying a very slow day in CFL free agency. No big quarterbacks were signed. There's 23 other positions, guys. It was wild. Number three, no Connor, no problem. Oilers win last night. No big deal. But scary movement in Anaheim, scary moment in Anaheim with Jay Bouwmeester. I watched the clip of that. I got sick to my gut. Not only because I know Bo, but just seeing his teammates' faces. He collapsed last night. Had a heart event on the bench in Anaheim. And apparently he's fine now, but scared the hell out of everybody. One of the reasons I'm excited, point four, Darren. Pats, I'm not excited that they got trounced at Medicine Hat tonight, but the Blades are home tonight. And you'll be there, right?
You call it? I'll be there.
All right. That's exciting. We'll be talking about that later on. Number five, at some point, the Mike Bolsinger lawsuit we got to talk about. This is the Blue Jays pitcher who had his career ended by the Astros. Did you hear this, Quinn?
I did.
And he's suing the Astros because they stole signs illegally and it ended his career.
Wow.
And you know what? I want to at least hear what he has to say. There's some merit to this. You would agree with that?
Yeah, I want to hear what he has to say. I think it's a bit far-fetched. You know, okay. I don't think anybody should be suing anybody because they stole some signs. I'm sure they're not the only team stealing signs.
It'd be a lot of lawsuits if that was the deal.
It'd be a lot of lawsuits.
And listen, I can't get tired of the future of Tom Brady, point six. I can't get tired of it. And as a Cowboys fan, Nick Lewis and I discussed it yesterday. If we got to show Dak Prescott the door and bring in Tom Brady on a short term, I think we might do it. Because Dakota Prescott has not done anything to earn $35 to $40 million a year. So those are some of the topics to get to today. James Franklin coming up in moments, live from Oklahoma, the newest Saskatchewan Rough Rider. James Franklin will be with us. What else do we have here? Nathan Rourke of the Ohio Bobcats, Canadian quarterback down there, two-time winner of the John Cornish Trophy. Greg Quick, the CFL's global director of scouting, and Riders D lineman Chad Jeter. Boom. It's a big day. Over to you, Quinn. What was your take on this frenetic day one of CFL free agency?
Well, it looks like Toronto just opened up the purse strings and said, here's a blank check. Let's go grab everybody we can. I focused a lot on the offensive line re-signings, especially in Saskatchewan, you know, with Blake Bladick and Coleman. And I was expecting two of those guys to be back in green and white. Two of them ended up going off to Toronto. So that was a big surprise. And I think that really hurts the Riders' offensive line depth. I think the big winner of the day, like I just said, is the Toronto Argonauts, just because, I mean, they really have nowhere to go but up considering, you know, last year's season. So going out and literally trying to just grab everybody off the everybody else's free agents list was probably a good move. I mean, they really have nothing to lose at this point. Hopefully they can stay under the cap. But for the Riders, James Franklin, great pickup, especially for the price they got him for. Losing Micah Johnson, I didn't expect to see him back anyway, so not a big deal there. But they're still obviously trying to build for a Grey Cup run this year, and they brought back the majority of the defense. I think they brought back the key players that they needed on defense. I didn't think they needed Johnson back to be strong defensively. I hate to say it, and defensive linemen are going to hate me for this, but the inside two defensive tackle positions are not hard to replace. You've seen guys fill in the last season. You even saw guys fill in for a couple games, and it's not like they really hurt the team or helped the team either way. So losing Johnson, not a big deal. I was surprised that Elamimian's re-signed. I wasn't sure if that was going to be a re-signing for the Riders, especially at the price that they got him for. But all in all, it was a great day. I think it was exciting for fans to see. I think, you know, a couple teams were, you know, pretty much non-existent, really didn't do a whole lot. We didn't see a whole lot out of Winnipeg, I didn't think, no. Which was surprising. But I guess they figure, you know what? The thing that does surprise me, though, is, and this goes back to a little more in the offseason, is Matt Nichols not being back in Winnipeg Blue, because a guy like Zach Caleros, we all know he's one hit away still. And I don't know. And with Chris Trevler being gone now, who's the backup? Who's the guy that fills in there? So you would have thought Winnipeg would have gone after a quarterback, maybe a Franklin. Obviously, Saskatchewan got him. So all in all, good day and more to come.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I thought it was a good day, too. It brings up the poll question of for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, who won day one of CFL free agency? And I don't mean to start a fight here, okay? There's only four options on Twitter. That's becoming a gigantic pain in the butt, Darren. The only four. Five would be real nice. It fits the CFL West real well. But there are only four options. So Toronto, Hamilton, BC, Edmonton. Those are the four options. Toronto, Hamilton, BC, Edmonton. 72% agree with you, Quinn Magnuson, that the Argos were winners of free agency on day one. But I also saw the BC Lions. I got to think that they're feeling good about what they did. Completely rebuilding their defensive line. Obviously, they got the number one free agent last year in Mike Riley, but that's just my take. That poll will be up for 24 hours. We'll be interested to see who finishes. But of course, again, Darren, it doesn't really matter who wins day one of free agency. It's fun to talk about.
Sure.
But we all thought BC won free agency last year. They ended up finishing fifth.
Yeah, we did.
Am I right?
No, you're right. I mean, we all predicted BC to be a playoff team, potentially a home playoff team near the top of the West, and it didn't pan out. But I like what they've done, getting the two defensive linemen. Micah Johnson, probably the bigger name of the two. So that's huge. We still don't know what's going to happen. They've been linked to Darrell Walker a little bit. But you start to wonder, how much money left. I mean, same thing in Toronto. Hamilton, didn't they get Larry Dean at the end of the the end of the day, the stud linebacker? So that's some big money. They got Jagarrett Davis locked up. So yeah, there's a lot of money being thrown around. Hamilton, I think, got even better. They also got the running back out of Calgary. So that's big.
Don Jackson.
Yeah, so that's why I think Hamilton's won free agency.
Randy Nickel, by the way, is watching from Mazatlan, Mexico. He writes in and he says, watching the RP show is like having coffee with friends and meeting new ones with great stories and personalities. I presume he's talking about you, Quinn.
Well, thanks, Randy. I appreciate that. First time on the show?
This is the first time for Quinn, and he's kind of just going like everybody. They come in here and go, what's going on?
Yeah.
Where are we airing? What's the deal? So enjoy yourself. Settle
excited
in.
To you're, be here. Yeah. I'm very impressed with the setup, and I'm honored to be here.
Don't you feel like you're in a locker room, like with a jerseys yeah. up everywhere? And
yeah, no, it's this is like I you know really you know I need another cup of coffee maybe, but other than that, I'm
Paul,
feeling.
I'm on it. Can we get on that? Can we get the man some coffee? Now, our very first guest is ready to roll. We're going to Oklahoma. Saskatchewan Rough Riders quarterback James Franklin joining us today. Frank the Tank, how you doing, Mr. Franklin?
I'm doing really good, thanks. Enjoying it here in Oklahoma right now.
I bet. Hey, what's the last 24 hours been like for you?
It's actually been really exciting. Sask is somewhere that I've always thought about going. Everyone said, man, you need to go to Sask. It's a great atmosphere, great fans, all that. And so finally, I guess I got smart and decided to listen and got a lot of positive feedback from fans tagging me on Instagram and Twitter. And also, I'm really excited to get to work with Coach Moss and Coach Dickey again.
Well, and so let's get into it, because I just enjoy seeing what fans are saying on social media. And they thought that Jason Moss had a huge impact in getting you to Saskatchewan. I didn't know if that was the case or not. I mean, he wasn't in Edmonton that I know of while you were there. I mean, did Coach Moss have a role in this?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I was with him for 2 years in 16 okay. and 17 in Edmonton. And he played a huge role. One thing I've learned over the last couple of years is how important it is to really enjoy and get along with the coaches, teammates as well, but especially the coaches when you're essentially playing for them and you're running their offense and you're kind of under their rule. And so going there with Coach Moss, I love playing for him. I like how he coaches, and I like how he dealt with me in Edmonton through good times and bad times.
What's the misconception of you from your Argos days? What would you like people to know that's not you?
Well, right off the bat, performance definitely. But that's not me.
No, I guess my point is just to say what didn't work in Toronto. Answer that however you want. I'm just saying you're not the quarterback okay. that we saw in Double Blue the last 2 years. Am I right in that?
Yes, sir. I think probably the thing that I wish that I could have done better was how I handled everything, as far as, you know, I couldn't control what anyone else did or said, logistically to an extent. Obviously I have no control, but as far as when I got on the field, I was too worried about trying to, what was the coach going to say, or if I'm running this right and what are my teammates going to think, rather than just going out there and playing. And so that's something, after doing some self-reflection the last two seasons, I didn't really do a good job of keeping a good attitude, not letting them affect me, which ultimately led to the performance. Because as you've probably heard before, a lot of people have heard, football is 15 or 10% physical, 90% mental. And that might not be exactly true, but the mental game is a huge part of it. And the guys that are mentally strong, the players that are mentally strong, they're the ones that typically have the most success, because they can persevere through conflict with teammates, with coaches, with other teams, strategies, all that. So I didn't do a good job of that in Toronto, and I think it showed pretty well, unfortunately.
Hey, James, Quinn Magnuson here. You know, having worked with Jason Moss in Edmonton for a couple of seasons, the Rider offense is probably going to change this year with him coming in as OC. What should Rider fans expect to see out of a Jason Moss-type offense?
Well, I think he has a really good system. I know he likes to take the shots, but he's really creative, and he's not afraid to call the unconventional play every now and then. So I think they should be excited. I mean, nothing against Coach McAdoo last year and how he called things, but I think that Coach Moss is will call the unconventional play a little more than not.
That's good. What do you got for him, Darren?
Yeah, I mean, what's the relationship like now with Cody Fajardo? I'm sure you guys haven't spoken yet since the news, but what's that situation like for you, going from, you know, battling as a starting quarterback in Toronto, and maybe a situation that you didn't have a lot of fun in, to coming to Saskatchewan where it appears they've got a number one guy?
Yes, sir. No, he actually texted me a couple, maybe like 10, 20
of course
minutes
he did.
Before, yeah, before the official announcement. And he's really nice. Going into it, I know that I'm the backup. He's the starter. He's earned it. And so I'm just coming there to support him. And he was, I told him that too when I texted him, like, look, I don't want you to think I'm going to come in here and be like, you know, I'm about to take over. I deserve to be the starter. None of that. I know that this is his team and I'm going to come in and help out and just make sure I'm prepared for an opportunity. And essentially, I guess this is kind of where I got my start in the first place was I was a backup and then got an opportunity to play a few games. And so if anything, I'm more familiar with this than actually coming in as a starter. So it's, I kind of joked with him a little bit about that, but I'm really excited because I've heard a lot of good things about him and the type of person that he is. And so I'm just thankful that I get the opportunity to come here to Sask and hopefully experience something great this year.
Which I think it will be. And can you tell us what General Manager Jeremy O'Day had to say for you in terms of the team's expectations for you, James?
No, sir. He didn't mention too much, but I mean, I was really clear on the fact that I know I wasn't looking for empty promises or, you know, telling me, hey, you're going to get this, you're going to get that, and you'll get to play this amount of time. I just thanked him for the opportunity to actually want me there and to get another chance to be on the team and potentially have the chance to play. And he's a really nice guy. He was laughing a little bit. He's a small town guy. And I tend to find that the best people are from the smallest towns. And just talking to him, I really did enjoy it. He asked just a few personal questions about family, kids, and all that. So we didn't really talk a lot of logistics, but I just want to be clear. I told him, you know, it's not a big deal. I don't care if you guys announce that I signed with the team or not. I'm not looking for publicity or anything like that. I'm just thankful for the chance to play again.
James, my hometown is 640 people. There's a sign on the wall here. Milestone, Saskatchewan. And it's been 640 years, people, guys, for 100 years. Do you know why it's never changed? Because every time a girl gets pregnant, a guy leaves town. Do the math, Quinn. But I will just say this, James. One of the storylines of the last 24 hours is that the Rider fans have wanted James Franklin. This is the Rider Nation's wanted James Franklin for 3-4 years. Now they got him. And they're happy, man. How does it feel to be? You mentioned the team wants you, but the fans really wanted you too. That's got to feel good.
Yes, sir, it does. It's really difficult because for myself, I really try. I'm a big people pleaser by instinct, and I really try not to worry about that. But it is nice to know that they do. Because at the end of the day, I guess technically the only opinion that matters is either general manager or the head coach as far as career-wise in football. And so it's like ideally you want to say, all right, that's all I care about. But it's nice to have the fan support, and it's nice to have them want you there and to treat you nice and to just be excited about it. So I'm really thankful for that. I know, as you said, it's been 3 or 4 years, but I'm thankful that that's the majority of them, or at least some of them still want me. And I know the circumstances are a little bit different, but I'm excited just to be welcomed and to have such a great fan base already.
Last question is from our producer, Clark. He's begging me to ask you this. James won a Grey Cup in his rookie season at Edmonton. What was it like coming into the league with that early success, and how has it changed his outlook on each and every season since?
Definitely spoiled coming in, and I know I got to play a few games. It's kind of funny because at the beginning of the season, I ended up getting cut and put on the PR, and I'm not one for – I like to write down goals now more so, but at the time I wasn't really big on it, so I actually made a video and – basically to myself saying that one way or the other, I'm going to help this team win a Grey Cup. And I know I didn't get to play in playoffs, but when Mike got hurt, when Mike Riley was at the quarterback there, I got to start 2 games, but I got to play in, I think, 3 more, so 5 total. And I helped us have enough success to win. And so it was kind of cool. I was like, man, that this is pretty easy. And then, you know, the next year, not so easy. But seeing the I think the biggest thing that I took away from that was seeing the attributes of a winning team. I guess you could say a championship team as well. Because one thing I've learned how to do very well over the last 2 years is lose. And so I know what not to do. But having winning that Grey Cup that first year, it's really helped me differentiate between, hey, typically winning teams, or at least the winning teams I've been on, the most successful teams I've been on, they either don't have this going on or they do have this going on. And now it's just going to be finding the right opportunity, the right way to present that to this team. Because obviously I don't know everything. There are guys that have more experience than I do and more wins than I do. But being able from a backup position to share or to address something that doesn't look right or something that does look right and try and emphasize, like, hey, we need to keep doing this or we need to stop this. So It was definitely a very nice, and I was spoiled my rookie year, but I did take away a lot of the winning attributes of a team.
Outstanding answer. Great visit to James. Well, enjoy the rest of the offseason. Looking forward to meeting you when you get up here. Welcome to the Rider Nation, my man.
Yes, sir. Go Riders. Thank you very much.
Frank the Tank checking in from Oklahoma this morning. This has been the rollout, an explosive one, with James Franklin joining us right off the bat, brought to you by our friends at Flooring Superstore. We'll be right back with Quinn Magnuson and Darren DuPont here in the bunker. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sorry, just showing Quinn how to get this show on Facebook. He's not on Facebook, but he's going to be by the end of the day. You can't miss this show. Sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Leon Draisaitl had a goal and three helpers, and the Edmonton Oilers won without captain Connor McDavid in the lineup. They spanked the Chicago Blackhawks 5-3. Kaitor Yamamoto had a pair of goals for the Oil, who will be without Connor for 2 to 3 weeks with a left quad injury. Chris Kreider scored twice as the Rangers halted the Jets' three-game win streak with a 4-1 victory in Winnipeg. Nikolai Ehlers had Winnipeg's lone goal. Kasperi Kapanen scored in overtime to give the Maple Leafs a 3-2 win over the Arizona Coyotes at Scotiabank Arena. The Desert Dogs sliding. Blues defenseman Jay Bouwmeester collapsed on the bench during a break in play in the first period last night, prompting the Blues and host Anaheim Ducks to postpone their game. Bo looked to be awake and alert as he was being transported out of the arena to a hospital. He appeared to be grabbing a drink of water when he began to slowly fall over. And Marwin Gonzalez has become the first batter from the World Series winning 2017 Houston Astros to publicly apologize for his role in the sign-stealing scandal. Now with the Twins, Gonzalez says he's remorseful for everything that happened and wishes he could take it back. He's not giving back his World Series ring nor World Series bonus. How sorry are you? A sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. By the way, Prairie Mobile text line is open as always, 306-840-8777. That is 840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. And we'll check the poll results on who won CFL free agency. I just got to bring Quinn Magnuson back in and just ask you this again, Quinn. Yeah. You said that there's a lot going on, you know, kind of tugs at your attention here. But what do you think of this? Were the fans writing in, the viewers and stuff? What do you think?
That's awesome. And I appreciate, you know, the couple of people that have tried to connect with me here on the, I guess, on the ticker, so to speak, and text in. And I apologize. I don't have my phone connected. Next time I'm on the show, I'll make sure that I'm a little more tech savvy. But I didn't get the warning, but I appreciate that. Somebody had asked earlier, I think it was, I can't remember the name, but he had asked who I thought would be in the Grey Cup this year. I think this is going to be a lot like a 2013 year. I think the Riders are going to make a huge push, obviously, because it's in Regina. So I think the Riders will be in it on one side, and that's not being a homer. I usually am very much a realist when it comes to those sorts of things. And I think Hamilton's going to be back in it again this year. So, you know, Hamilton, Saskatchewan final. I don't think Winnipeg, in fact, I think Winnipeg's going to drop off quite a bit. I don't know why. I just feel like you kind of have that Grey Cup hangover, and I think they're going to drop off and probably not even make the, you know, make a conference final. So.
It was Kevin Diaco with the question, and Kevin. Clark just put the question up on the screen. Kevin, is another Saskatoon guy. He was in the lobby of the Holiday Inn getting autographs from Grant Fuhr, Marty Brodeur, and Ed Belfour, and all the guys. So I'm telling you, we're very big in Saskatoon, as I told you. Yeah. Now, furthermore, to the James Franklin interview, I've had occasion to meet the guy. He was in my restaurant in downtown Regina. I knew that he was a first-class guy. Writers, you know, they have this thing where you need to be a good person to play on that team, which was what that brand was built on.
Yep.
Darren, you were pretty impressed by the interview with Frank the Tank.
Of course. Every interaction you see with James Franklin is a positive one. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I like that. I'm a believer always, and I know in sports you have to have some athletic ability, but I'm a big believer that good people always beat qualified people. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, you have to reach a certain level of qualification to play in the Canadian Football League, and he's done that. But, I mean, he's willing to come in, know what situation he's coming into, know what role he's coming into, and he can learn a little bit more. And when he's ready to start, much like a coordinator being a head coach, you have to pick the right fit to be able to take on those new tasks and those new responsibilities, because your entire day is different. Your entire week's different. Everything's different when you're a starting quarterback. They say you prepare like a starter as a backup, but you really don't. I mean, it's you can't, right? So I like his mindset. I really do. I think him and Cody as a 1-2 punch, I really like that a lot.
Yeah, Saskatchewan, just playing in Saskatchewan with the Rough Riders now, it might have been a little bit different back when I played, but there is definitely a distinct culture here. It is the one team in the league that maintains that culture that players who are not playing here look at and go, what it's like to be part of that? What's it like to be part of Rider Nation and have the adulation of, you know, hundreds of thousands of fans throughout the province? Because you just don't get that in any other market. Certainly not in BC and Toronto and Montreal. And Saskatchewan continues to do that. And one of the questions I wanted to ask James is, you know, I'm sure there was more than one team looking at signing him yesterday. Why Saskatchewan, right? Why come in here to be a backup? Well, I'd much rather be a backup in Saskatchewan than a backup in Toronto. I mean, Toronto, you're already behind the eight ball as it is. You, like he said, too many losses to start with, and now you're a backup on that team, which feels like you can't really even get a step up. So I appreciate the interview that James gave. It was awesome. Obviously, he has a smile on his face all the time. He's going to bring some great energy to that locker room.
Well, I was talking with some fans, obviously, last night. Everywhere you go, you run into Rider fans here, and they said, why Franklin? And I brought up the salary. I mean, if the numbers are to be believed, it's less than half what he made last year in Toronto. Yep. This is a major bargain for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Absolutely.
Right? So, and the other thing is, better is better. What did we say right off the top of the show yesterday? To quote the great Bobby Vespasiani, people don't like to say goodbye to the, they become attached to these players here. And one of them's going to have to go, Quinn, because they're not going to keep Brian Bennett or Isaac Harker is a fourth guy. One of them's going to have to go. But when you get a chance to get James Franklin at a 50% off bargain, you're taking him.
Yeah. It's I hate to call it, but it's in my business, it's called top grading. You're always looking for the best players. You're always looking to upgrade. And unfortunately, someone will drop off the bottom, whether that be Isaac or Brian, remains to be seen. To be honest, I think Brian Bennett still could be kept on the roster, considering the different roles he played last year. You could keep him on as a full-time special teams guy and keep him on as a backup quarterback, almost like a Taysom Hill. Yeah, like in New Orleans. I mean, it's possible. I don't know how much he's getting paid, but you're right. The bargain that they got Franklin for, players are willing to come here and play for a little less money. Mind you, living here is a little bit cheaper than Toronto, but they're willing to come here and play for less money because of the culture, because of the chance to win a Grey Cup, and that's probably what happened.
Now, the interesting thing, however, and you never know what goes on behind the scenes, but you look at Alex Gagner leaving the Riders to go to Montreal. On the flip side, he led the Riders in special teams tackles last year. He's an outstanding football player, and you see people go, why would anybody leave? And I got to think in the case of Gagner specifically, it's home. Mm-hmm. Willie Jefferson left because why? Money. But that's the other thing, Quinn. If you aren't from here specifically, I can see why guys would leave, but the fans can't really see why they would leave.
No, and I think for a lot of national players, a kid like Gagner, it is because he wants us to play closer to home. And so that doesn't surprise me that he did leave. Once again, I think about the different markets and the cost, because you're not getting paid much in the CFL. And even if you're a second-year rookie and you're getting paid 80 or 90 grand, I mean, that's not a lot to be able to live in a city like a Toronto or a Vancouver or Calgary. And so it surprises me when guys do leave a market like Regina, where you can live affordably on a rookie salary or through your salary. The thing that I was asking a couple months ago was when they re-signed Jorgen Hues, is Jorgen basically just does the long snaps for punts. Mm-hmm. And Gagne was doing the short snaps. I was like, why would you re-sign a guy just to do one thing and not two things at least? Nothing against Jorgen. I'm just saying, back when I played, you were doing three or four things. And now Gagne leaves. Obviously, Jorgen takes over for that. But Gagne probably just wanted to go back home, be closer to home, have his friends and family be able to see him play a little bit more. So, you know, it's his decision. But it wasn't for more money. We'll never know.
It just, it caught me initially. Why would you leave? I thought that too. I got trapped in that mindset. And then I realized, wait a minute, he's from Montreal. Maybe the money wasn't there. You don't know what the Riders were offering and so forth.
Right.
Now we're going to pause and you're going to be very interested, Quinn, in this interview. And obviously you, Darren, as well. Nathan Rourke joins us, Canadian quarterback with the Ohio Bobcats, joins us on video chat this morning. And the reason I say Quinn will be very interested is his son just committed to Arizona Wildcats. And I know that you guys will have some stuff to talk about. But Nathan, 3-year starter at Ohio University, 2-time John Cornish winner for the top Canadian in the NCAA. Clark's put the notes here for those that may not know. Played in the NFL PA Bowl. He's eligible for both the NFL and CFL draft. You know all this stuff, however, Nathan. I just want to say good morning and thanks for joining us. How are things where you're at today?
Things are going well. Thank you for having me on.
What's your football status here right now in the offseason, Nathan? What's keeping you busy and what are you looking forward to here in 2020?
Right now, just training down here in Nashville for the upcoming pro day at Ohio U. I'm going to be back there on March 17th and hopefully be able to attract some pro coaches, whether it's in the NFL or the CFL.
Nathan, you got your pro day coming up. What do you want to show the scouts and the teams at your pro day? Because I know you're quite athletic. You like to run around a little bit. Are you watching what, like, you know, Quinn mentioned, Taysom Hill's doing? Or if you follow the CFL, Chris Streveler now signing, you know, in Arizona with the Cardinals. Are you following what these guys are doing? Is that something that you could fit in kind of a, you know, the multi-tool role?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think I could definitely do that. In terms of making a roster, I just want to be able to help and contribute in some facet of whatnot. And at my pro day, I really want to be able to show that I can do those things. I can be athletic. But most importantly, I want to be able to show that I can make the pro-style throws when I have the chance to throw the under-center stuff that they're looking for in the NFL, and be able to show that my feet has gotten a lot better with the work that I've gotten, especially since the NFL PA Bowl.
Hey, Nathan, Quinn Magnuson here. You know, being a Canadian, just a Canadian player and going down to the States, and my son will be going down to Arizona in the fall, and I know the struggles that a lot of Canadian high school players have in even just getting noticed to be able to get a Division I scholarship like you did and Leif did and a few other players. What do you feel is that stigma that's attached to Canadian high school players when it comes to being recognized in the States and then being able to earn a Division I scholarship, you know, at a major program? And why they don't look at Canadian players more?
Yeah, I it's a great question. And honestly, I don't know the exact answer to that. I think there's a lot of talent back home in Canada. And I think that there's, you know, the amount of kids that are coming out and are having success, like Claypool at Notre Dame and Chuba at Oklahoma.
Uh-oh. Oh, he dropped out. Clark tells me he'll let us know when he gets back. We're all just sitting there hanging on every word. What do you say? That's the one. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes they do drop like that, Quinn, just so you know, because I'm introducing Quinn, the brand new viewer here today for the first time. And he's back. So you, thank you, Nathan. By the way, you just dropped out when you were talking about Chuba Hubbard, our good friend Chuba from Edmonton. So if you can pick up where you left off.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll do my best to keep going.
You're good.
People like Chuba and people like Chase, they're just a testament to show the type of athletes that we can produce. And it's a shame that coaches don't look at Canada as more of a viable option to get those kind of players.
When did NCAA come on to your radar? I mean, obviously, Brandon Bridges is a close friend of mine. There's a guy that went to South Alabama from Mississauga. You're an Oakville kid. When did it become a goal of yours to pursue your career, further your career in the United States as opposed to U Sports or CIS?
Uh, again, the connection is not great, so I'm going to try to do my best here. It's always been a goal for me to play in the NFL, and I thought that going through NCAA was always the best way to do that. So I just looked for every opportunity that I could to have an opportunity to play in the States. And when I got an opportunity my senior year of high school to go and play in Alabama, to take advantage of it, and that's what we did.
Hey, Nathan. You know, when it comes to now having the potential to play professional football, whether it be the NFL or the CFL, if the NFL route doesn't work out for you, obviously there's going to be some CFL teams that have some interest in you. But we've seen, you know, with Brandon Bridge and a few other Canadian quarterbacks, there always seems to be a wall that young Canadian quarterbacks are trying to fight through to gain a starting position in the CFL. You know, do you see that changing? And are you know, do you feel that you have the potential to be a starter in the CFL, you know, given the right opportunity?
Oh, and the connection broke again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Let me know, Clark, if he comes back. I would suggest if you put yourself in his mind set
yep.
or his shoes, do you think he's even thinking about the CFL?
Not right now.
Probably.
No, I mean he has options, and you know, he signs a free agent, you know, NFL contract somewhere, and or maybe gets a practice roster option. I mean, you just have to get a foot in the door, right? The thing that frustrates me about the CFL though is the stigma that's attached to Canadian quarterbacks. This isn't 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. There are good quarterbacks out there that are playing down in the United States and playing the American game. Nathan's a great example of that. And they certainly can come home and play in the CFL and be starters, but for some reason CFL head coaches just don't want to give that opportunity, and I don't know what it is.
Well, I have my thoughts.
Yeah, okay.
After 20 years in the CFL, I would suggest in most cases it's an anti-Canadian bias by American coaches.
Yeah.
However, there was a time that half the CFL coaches were Canadian. So you'd like to think they believed in Canadian quarterbacks. Mike O'Shea comes to mind. I'd have to go off the top of my head how many are left. Wally Buono for years and years and years. I'd like to think they're not biased against Canadian quarterbacks, but I would say the coaches were. But you got a guy like Brandon Bridge who gets served on the platter the opportunity to start time after time after time, and he didn't make the most of it. Fair? So yeah. There's a lot of Mark Mueller's running around. There's a lot of, any Canadian quarterback that I on the flip side, I think coaches thought if you could lead us to wins, you'd play. We don't care where you're from.
But they aren't given the opportunity. And to be honest,
right, but Bridge got his and didn't make the most of it.
My opinion on Bridge, though, do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
I like Brandon Bridge. The thing that he was, though, is he was athlete first, quarterback second.
Yep.
He was a guy that made, you know, it was no different than Cato Jones in Montreal when he was there, too. There's guys that come out of the NCAA that are just great, phenomenal athletes. They don't translate to the professional game because they can't read a defense. They can't read multiple coverages. And I think Brandon was one of those kids. Phenomenal athlete, you know, has quarterback skill, but couldn't make that leap to being a good quarterback and only a quarterback. You see a lot of guys that win the Heisman Trophy down in the States as a quarterback, and then they don't translate into NFL quarterbacks just because they were just great athletes.
Oh yeah,
they were the best kid on their team, best player in their team, and a coach put the system around them to make them look good. You know, Johnny Manziel is another great example of that. He hasn't translated into any professional league anywhere, but a kid like Nathan, he strikes me as a kid who is a great quarterback first, you know, and then obviously an athlete after. And I think he'd be given the opportunity, he's gonna do something. But you're right. Is he thinking about CFL right now? Probably not.
Probably not. And Clark says that Nathan has changed his connection. We got him loud and proud from Nashville right now. So Quinn asked you about the CFL, Nathan, and I said, my guess is you're not even thinking about the CFL at this time. Would I be right?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, we want to be able to play at the highest level. That's always been the dream. That's always been the goal. And, you know, I don't think that the CFL is a bad second option, but it's definitely the second option right now. We want to go play in the NFL and use every opportunity that we get, which we're expecting at least something, no matter how big, no matter how small, I'm trying to go take advantage of that and learn what I can and then come back if that's what it comes down to.
You seem like you have natural maturity. It wouldn't matter where you went to college, Canada or the United States, but from an X's and O's standpoint, what has going to Ohio done for you?
A lot of great things that have been able to translate in terms of what we did offensively. We went into a lot of plays calling multiple plays, so we would have built-in kills or built-in cans, or whatever the lingo is in the NFL. But that's something that I tell some scouts that I've talked to and stuff like that in the NFL, and something that they're really impressed to see or to hear that I dealt with. And so that even that exposure is something that's been really beneficial. And then obviously just playing in the States and playing the American game, which is, you know, obviously different, especially for a quarterback, than the Canadian game. That exposure has definitely set me up for hopefully some success in the NFL. And I definitely feel comfortable with the game. But, you know, again, with the CFL, I played that in high school. I played the Canadian game in high school. So it's not going to be a massive transition, in my opinion.
So just lastly, on your pro day, what's the day of it again?
March 17th.
What is your agent and coaches telling you that you're going to need to show that day, March 17th?
We haven't gone down to particulars. We're less worried about the times of everything. We're more worried about just being able to show that I can make every throw on the field. And that's something that I'm pretty confident that I can do. And I think I've been able to show that on film, and it's just a matter of being able to show teams in person.
Wow. Well, Nathan, I think you've gained a lot more fans here just from this interview this morning. I don't really want to let you go, but I know you're a busy guy. We will let you go. And good luck in that pro day. We'll be following closely. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Nathan Rourke, the Canada's prodigal son, it said on ESPN.com. I just called up and...
Whoa.
Yeah, just said here. 6-1-2-10 out of Oakville, Ontario. And I know, Quinn, that you got to go. You got a call or something you got to take?
Yeah, I got to get going here a couple minutes ago.
Ah!
I know.
Don't you feel like we could...
Oh, talk all day.
Yeah.
I know. Well, we're going to.
Oh, I know you
just got to leave. And here's the thing. Jerry Hales writes in, and I believe she's watching in the Maritimes. She says, here's where the CFL fails. These young Canadian players dream of the NFL instead of the CFL. They're aspiring to the American football dream. Jerry, that's not the CFL's fault. No. But I want to talk about that when we come back, because I hear it a lot. Quinn, anything else?
I would love to talk about that when we come back. Unfortunately, I can't, because I have a lot to say about that.
I know. We all do.
Yeah.
The quiz walk-off, Alan Lee says. No, we're going to go to a break, and Dupes and I will return. On the way today, Greg Quick and Chad Jeter. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I got good news and I got bad news. The good news, Darren, you know what the good news is?
I'll give it to you first.
The good news is that all of our staff are out working. Nobody's in here today.
That's
you know what
news.
The bad news is? There's nobody to go get us coffee.
Yeah.
We need an intern. We're taking applications for the next Rod Peterson Show intern?
Well,
Alan Lee?
He's here. He's not here today. Twice a week. He was here yesterday.
Oh, that's the guy in the Jameis Winston jersey.
Yes.
Okay.
Famous Jameis.
Famous Jameis. So we got people paying attention to the program today. Super Agent Rob Fry writes in, wants to know if you can rewind during the live show. No, Fryzy, you can't. You got to wait until the show's over to rewind. You can go back and watch the interview with your client, Frank the Tank. And Nathan Rourke is a guy that you just want to cheer for. I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup until we just had him on. And great work, Clark, on lining him up. I just want to cheer for Nathan Rourke. I don't want to see him in Canada. If that's where he wants to be is the National Football League, I want him to stay in the National Football League.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, of course that's the player's dream to play in the NFL. We get that. I mean, and how can you blame them for that? I mean, the NFL is mega. It's big time. It's, you know, guys wearing $300,000 watches while they're playing, making statements in the news, bigger contracts, on multiple TV networks. It's just a bigger deal, unfortunately, and that's just the way it is. So, of course, they want to aspire to that. But a lot of kids do aspire to the CFL and want to play in the CFL.
Yeah, Saskatchewan kids do.
For sure.
A lot of them.
And a lot of U Sports, football players know that maybe the NFL is not coming, but you still want to play in the CFL. And we see a lot of Americans come down here, play in the CFL, and then are proud to play in the CFL because they see what it is. But it's two completely different things.
Well, I love this. Jerry follows everything we do. She follows, all CFL things. And God bless the CFL. But I remember Stephen Brunt writing in the 80s in the Globe and Mail, Stephen Brunt saying the CFL is a minor league that enjoys major attention. If I remember 30 years later, you know that it had an impact on me.
Yeah.
It was in the 80s. It's a fact based on salaries and revenue. It's just a fact. Now, that was when I was in high school. I remember reading that article by Stephen Brunt. Again, CFL's a minor league that enjoys major exposure. It's the truth, whether you like to hear it or not. So moving on, as my career would unfold, to spend a lot of time, 20 years in the Canadian Football League, 17 years in the Western Hockey League, and broadcasting the World Juniors, I've been around hockey a lot too. So I know a lot of American Hockey League players, as we all do.
Yep.
There's a ton from Saskatchewan that are playing in the American Hockey League as well as the NHL. Do you think Garrett Mitchell grew up dreaming of playing for the Hershey Bears? No. But it's the way life takes you. So can you understand why Canadian kids would not grow up thinking of dreaming of playing in the American Hockey League? That's where they end up. They dream of playing in the NHL. But the CFL is the football version of the American Hockey League. You can go there, make a nice living, play for a long time, make some great memories, meet a wife, and never go home.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't blame... It's not the CFL's fault if Canadian kids are growing up wanting to play in the National Football League. And you talk about $300,000 watches and so forth. I'm kind of having it up to here with people that don't understand the player's perspective, where you can play one game in the National Football League and make more money than an entire season in the CFL. And furthermore, Weston Dressler from Bismarck, North Dakota, you think he might have spent a little time around Weston? Breaking his neck to get to Kansas City to try out for the Chiefs when he could have made way more money here, frankly, as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider, but he's from Bismarck, North Dakota. What do you think means more to the people on Coffee Row in Bismarck, North Dakota, that this guy played with the Kansas City Chiefs for a year or was on the practice roster for a year or was a legend in the CFL? What do you think means more where he's from? So I get that the CFL is a big deal to a lot of us, but understand that it's not necessarily to the players.
It's a great point, and it just struck something with me because we're such a hockey, you know, land, and we're hockey people. What means more, you know, to a guy that, you know, from small towns that we grew up in, and we know them, we can pull out names. What means more that a guy was drafted into the NHL and maybe played a couple of games or half a season, or a guy went over to the Italy League or the Swedish League or the
Dale Dirkacz.
Yeah, right, and crushed it over there. It doesn't.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I mean, it's a big deal. And you're a legend over there. Like, I know the guys, I mean, rolling in it, making six figures, you know, making $100,000, $200,000 a year, playing, you know, in the Italian League or playing in the Swiss League. But they come here and they play in the American League and get called up for a little bit in the NHL. It's a much bigger deal, even for a few games. So it's just the way it is.
From Randy Nickel again, watching from Mexico. He says 51% of Canada's population watched the Super Bowl. I was reading a story this morning on the XFL. 4 million people tuned in for the Seattle-Washington game. 4 million in the XFL. That is a lot. Now, you may not think it's a lot. It's a tiny fraction of the American population, but it's exponentially more than CFL ratings in America on ESPN. Now, that should scare the bejesus out of Canadian pro football promoters and marketers. If the XFL has that many viewers and the Super Bowl is eating the CFL's lunch in Canada, it's all marketing. The games, the products are both very good. And that's the one thing Jerry says where the CFL fails. Kids are dreaming of playing, growing up wanting to play in the NFL. That is not a CFL problem. It's not a CFL historical problem. But I'm not letting the CFL off the hook. They are getting their lunch eaten by the NFL in Canada and, to a certain extent, the XFL. Like, just getting eaten. You know, I see this betting for the XFL. I get these news releases from PR companies in the States, Darren, on prop bets for opening weekend in the XFL.
Yep.
Who's going to rush for the most yards? Who's going to, you know, not your normal betting over or under bets, but prop bets. This is getting shoved in my face.
Yeah.
By PR companies working on behalf of the XFL and the NFL. And I'm not a bettor. If I had to spend $5, I'd rather buy a cup of coffee than a spin of a roulette wheel. I'm not a bettor. I've never been a bettor. But I'm not close-minded enough to realize it's not the biggest thing in pro sports right now. I get that.
Yep.
That's what's floating everybody's boat. And that's different from fantasy. CFL does a pretty good job with their fantasy. It's tough with only 9 teams. I get it. I know a lot of people that play it. That's totally different than sports betting. Totally different. Right?
Oh, big time.
So,
big time.
Again, don't blame Nathan Rourke that the kid grew up in Oakville and wants to play in the NFL and is looking at the CFL as a second option, because that's what it is. And again, talk about having it up to here. I've said for years the CFL should be looked at as a feeder system for the National Football League, and people's heads explode. Oh, that would make people think we're an inferior league to the NFL. Wait. Look at your pay stub. Over to you.
Yeah. You're right.
Like, come on.
No, you're right. I mean, again, self-awareness, right? How often do we say that term, self-awareness? That's all you got to know. Just be self-aware. Be happy for what we are, because it is. It's big in Canada. It's huge in Canada. Yeah, a lot of people watch the Super Bowl. Cool. But a lot of people watch the Grey Cup, too. And the CFL in Canada, typically is bigger than the NFL. But the NFL is a bigger stage. So when the Super Bowl comes around, everybody watches, right? I mean, I cannot watch a single game in the NFL and know everything that's going on just by, you know, surfing Twitter. It's just a bigger game. But, I mean, there's room for both. And we're finding that there might even be room for a third in the XFL. But the order is the players want to go to the NFL first. Then probably the CFL, then the XFL. That's just the way it is. The XFL is coming in, and they're pretty aware of what they are, too, trying to be an entertaining brand of football. But they know they're not the CFL in terms of the players. They know they're not the NFL. But you got to be okay with that.
Jeff Cabillas watching in Winnipeg says, Rod slams down Thor's hammer. What a rant. It's been building for a while, by the way. And the rants on this show for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. And I've been arguing with CFL players. Okay, thank you. I've been arguing with CFL players about this since the 90s. It's time to wake up. And for people to say that, oh, the XFL is inferior, I'm not going to watch it because if I watch it, then that'll be competition for the CFL. You know what? Competition is best for everybody. It's going to compete, make the CFL work harder to get players. It's going to make the television broadcasts on TSN better. My God. It just seems to me like they haven't changed for 10 years on TSN. So all these innovations in the XFL really look good.
They look great. They look awesome.
And what's wrong with the competition?
Competition is great. When you're the only game in town, you're going to win and you're just going to rest. And I mean, if you're making the revenue, why increase your expenses to try to do something different, right? And sit back, make the revenue, and keep cutting expenses until eventually somebody comes along and you're so far behind, it's too expensive to catch up.
Yep.
Right? Competition is good. And if you don't have somebody to compete with, go find somebody because it will make you better. It's just like playing sports, right? You're sitting on the street. It's cool. It's cool to practice. Go find somebody to play against. It's going to make you better. Same thing in business. Same thing in life, right? What's the term? A worthy adversary, right? Can help you get to the top. You need somebody to go against, right? Ollie needs Frazier, right? Or Foreman or whoever it is, right? The Leafs need the Canadians. The Oilers need the Flames, right? We all need competition. It makes us better.
Well, we will switch topics here, but JR is watching in Cranbrook, BC. He says, our marketing in the CFL stinks and Randy is doing squat. I don't want to necessarily go down that road, but a guy did write me the other day and say, oh, the old boys club that's marketing the CFL and with the teams, they've fallen behind the times. I'm like, oh, man, you have it completely backwards. Mm-hmm. The old boys knew what they were doing. They built the brand. If you want to talk about the Tom Shepherds and the Dan Marses and the Larry Mullers and the Trent Frazers, the old boys club, they're all gone. They're not the ones that are running the show and the marketing anymore. Those boys knew what they were doing. I see some questions coming in here from the viewers. Who won free agency day one? That is our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Who won day one of CFL free agency? Wow, 69% of you, a whopping 69% say the Toronto Argonauts, 19% say the Hamilton Tiger Cats, 11% say the BC Lions, and 1% say the Edmonton Eskimos. I think we settled on the top four.
Yep.
Again, the fact there are only four options is becoming a major pain in my neck because I would have liked to have added more options. Quinn Magnuson, outstanding guest, and we're getting a lot of plaudits from people on Quinn's appearance here because he was great.
Oh, he's awesome.
Winnipeg, very quiet, really. Montreal, quiet. I would like to would have put Ottawa in that vote. We just didn't have room. Calgary, I would think we're feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yep. I like the Calgary.
I would say don't confuse who's the busiest team with who won.
Nope.
Two different things there.
Argos were busy. They locked up a lot of key pieces. Tavares Daniels, the biggest one, over $200K a year. Getting him locked up as a receiver to replace Darrell Walker. I really like what Toronto's done. Leading into free agency, secured the quarterbacking situation. I think they've upgraded big time with Matt Nichols and bringing back McLeod Bethel-Thompson, or McBeth, as we call him. Yeah, Calgary's supposed to be quiet. They made a few key moves. I like what BC's done, shoring up that defensive line. I mean, Micah Johnson, I think, is going to have a big year. But I really like what Hamilton's done. I really do. Just getting Jagera Davis locked up, you know, on the line, getting Larry Dean at linebacker. I mean, man, you got Simone Lawrence and Larry Dean as your linebackers. I mean, you got to like that a lot. And on offense, they got a top-tier running back. If Terrell Sutton comes back, they got another good running back out of Calgary. The receivers we know are good. We don't know what's going to happen with Luke Tasker. He's still a free agent, I believe, and still available. They've got two good quarterbacks. So I really like where Hamilton's at. I think a team that was tops in the CFL, got to the Grey Cup, And if it wasn't for laying an egg in a Grey Cup, probably should have won the game. I think they're even better now, on paper anyways, after day one of free agency.
Couple messages before we roll. Where did the time go on hour one? From my brother from another mother, Rob Peterson. Not Rod Peterson, Rob Peterson. We can get confused for each other all the time. He says, Brad Elberg for commissioner. I'm not saying that we need a change in commissioner. Not saying that at all. But I think the marketing could be spiffed up a little bit. From Tyler Wood, he writes in and he says, I'm watching the Rod Peterson show live from the warm beaches of Dominican Republic, catching up on free agency news I'm missing. So far, pretty quiet day, other than the Hamilton Tiger Cats signing Patrick Levels. And Jeff Michaels is in Medicine Hat, writes in, he says, I think the Riders won with all the players that didn't go to free agency. See, I would have liked to have put the Riders in that option if I could, but we only had four. An anonymous texter on the Prairie Mobile text line from the 535 writes in, says, you're 100% right, Roddy. Thank you, whomever you are.
And whatever you're talking about.
And, well, I think he's talking about my thing. Let's just say what it is. The CFL is the American Hockey League of football. Let's stop fighting with the NFL. It'd be nice if we worked together here. And competition is actually a good thing. Greg Quick, the CFL's global scouting director, with us in hour two, along with Riders D lineman Chad Jeter. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.